All right, so let us get started today. I want to thank you again for joining us this afternoon or this morning, wherever you are in the U.S. And we're happy to be here kind of kicking off the webinar schedule for the new competition for the Fulbright Scholar Program, the U.S. Scholar Program for the 2022 and 2023 academic year. So today's webinar, we will be focusing on awards to the Western Hemisphere. My name is Michelle Belorci, and I'm an outreach and recruitment specialist at IIE, and I'm joined by my wonderful colleague, Angelica Sterna.
Hi, everyone. Angelica, I'm the regional program officer for the Western Hemisphere, which means that should you apply and be selected, I will be the main point of contact to guide you through the whole process for all of the documentation that you need to begin your program. And this is a really important part is the applying. So I'm here to answer any questions today, even though Michelle will be leading. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Angelica. So we are based at the Institute of International Education, which administers the Fulbright Scholar Program. So that is what you see here in terms of the logos. And I think we'll just get started and dive right in with a brief history and the mission of the program. We're happy to be celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Fulbright Program this year. So we would encourage you to visit our website and also see the special 75th anniversary website at Fulbright75.org. So as I said, the Fulbright Program has been around for 75 years, and it is the flagship international educational and cultural exchange program of the United States government. It's specifically sponsored by the U.S. Department of State and administered by IIE. And the mission of the program is to foster mutual understanding around the world by bringing Americans, sending Americans around the world to do research, to study, to teach, to engage in projects that ultimately advance knowledge and improve lives around the world. So we've been doing this for a long time, and we're happy to be continuing our mission and taking the journey into the 21st century. In terms of diversity inclusion, that actually informs everything we do in outreach, including the visits that we make to campuses, the virtual presentations that we give, the groups of people that we try and reach. So the idea of the program is really to have a full cohort of Fulbrighters that reflect the diversity of the United States. So all regions, all different groups of people, regardless of their race or their national origin, their gender, geographic location, et cetera. So this is something that is very important to the U.S. State Department, and this statement comes directly from them. So this informs a lot of the work that we do on the program. In terms of the numbers, I can't underscore enough how large the program is. The scope of the program is quite vast. Specifically, we are talking about Fulbright Scholar Awards in this webinar. So annually, 800, and I think the number has actually moved up to closer to 900, but annually about 800 U.S. researchers, teachers, faculty, and administrators go on Fulbright Awards. And this is, it's only been growing over the years. In addition, we have other sides of the program, visiting scholar side, the U.S. student side, the foreign student side, and we have language teaching assistantships. So if you'd like to learn more about those programs, please email us, and we'd be happy to share those information. So this is, again, the information here is just for the Fulbright programs that the Institute of International Education administers. You may have heard about other Fulbright programs, such as Fulbright Hayes, Fulbright Specialist. Those are administered by different agencies and organizations. Okay, so going into the eligibility for the Fulbright Scholar Program, the baseline eligibility is U.S. citizenship. That's, for the program. Then after that, depending on the award description, you would either need a terminal degree or a certain number of years of teaching, et cetera. So that all of that information is outlined in the award description for that particular country or that award. And I can go through the catalog to give you an example of how to navigate and find the relevant information. In terms of reapplying to the program, if you've had a Fulbright Scholar award in the past, we ask that you wait 2 years from the time that your grant completed to the time that you reapply. So we have some highlights that I'd like to share that are specifically relevant this year because they are new or they're recently implemented. Number one is the deadline. So the deadline this year is September 15. And keep in mind, the awards that we're highlighting in this webinar today are for opportunities that would take place next year and the following. So the next academic year, which would be 2022 and 2023. So the way Fulbright works is you typically apply more than a year in advance from when your particular award or grant project would take place. This year, we only are requiring 2 letters of recommendation from colleagues and peers. It used to be 3. We've lowered it to 2. We've also updated several awards letter of invitation requirement to be optional or not, you know, not required, not solicited. So take a look at that because a letter of invitation does sometimes take a lot of extra work for applicants, and so we've tried to make that barrier kind of less of a barrier to applying. There's going to be 3 different kinds of awards that I'll be showcasing today. The Scholar Award, which is the typical kind of teaching and research award, the Postdoctoral Award, and then the Distinguished Scholar Award, which is the more prestigious in the catalog, kind of the most prestigious award. We also have the Professional Project option that was introduced last year. If you have a project, let's say you're outside of academia, maybe you're a photographer or an artist or a lawyer, you're in the profession but you're not affiliated with university and you're not, you're not doing academic research, but there's a project that is relevant to your career and also would have impact abroad, that option is available in many awards. And then the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship, we offer that specifically in the Western Hemisphere. It would be for Peru. This is a unique opportunity for early career professionals in the field of public policy. And then the last thing I want to highlight is the office hours that we will be opening up next month throughout the competition until the deadline. So starting in March until September 15, we will have weekly office hours based on the regions. So there's a staff of us that have regions that we look after the awards. So for example, the Western Hemisphere will be on Tuesdays in the afternoon, and you can drop into a webinar, an office hour, and ask questions directly to me. And then of course our weekly webinar schedule is posted, and we typically hold webinars on Wednesdays. In terms of the Western Hemisphere regional highlights, just to give you an overview, there are 25 countries this year that offer awards. So the Western Hemisphere from Canada down to Chile, and we offer 59 unique award opportunities that offer up to 200 scholars an opportunity to take a Fulbright. So you'll hear me mention award or grant, but really what the main distinction is to know that an award may have several spots. So, for example, the award to Brazil, the All Disciplines Award, has 30 spots, 30 grants. So one award might have more than one scholar can get that award.
I would also add, Michelle, really quick. One point of confusion that I often hear about is that there's countries, there's awards, and there's grants, as you just explained. Some countries, you know, we have 25 countries here. Some of them only offer one award with 2 to 10 spots, which are the grants. Some countries, like Brazil and Canada, offer many different awards. And within each of those awards, there's a varying number of grants available. So Canada has 17, I believe. We can double check that number later. So just because it says 25 countries, that number is not totally accurate. So you'll want to look at each country of interest to you and see what types of awards they have, if there are multiple or just one, and you know, look at the grant number that are available as well.
Great. Yes. So there's a lot to kind of consider, but the catalog of awards makes it very easy to understand what is available to, you know, which different places. The other program highlight I'd like to cover is we do have a multi-country award, which allows trilateral research to Canada, Mexico, and the U.S., and that is called the Carlos Rico Award. So you'll see that under the list for opportunities to Canada as well as opportunities to Mexico. So that will appear twice, and that allows the researcher to be placed in both countries for equal amounts of time. As I mentioned, the Fulbright Public Policy Program to Peru, that's a fellowship where the Fulbrighter is placed in the government ministry. So this is specifically for early career public policy professionals. And then the last thing is the regional travel program. So once you receive your Fulbright award and are in the country doing your Fulbright project, you can apply for a travel grant, which is the travel program that I'm speaking about. And that allows you to attend a conference or a workshop or give a lecture. So that's another kind of bonus to the award experience. So moving right along, we're going to start with Canada. Again, as Angelica mentioned, there are several opportunities to Canada, and I'll be kind of showing you how that works in the catalog. The first main award is the All Disciplines Award. So typically, each country has at least, if they only offer one award, typically it's an All Disciplines Award. So what that means is it's open to projects from all disciplines. Unless it's otherwise stated, you know, certain disciplines are not, you know, excluded. But typically, if it's listed as an All Discipline Award, and you have an appropriate institution in mind in that particular country, you can propose a project. So in this case, the grant activity type is for research or teaching combined with research. So there are three opportunities available, three grants, and they are ranging from 4 to 9 months. What that means is that you as the applicant determine whether you need 4 months, 9 months, 6 months, you know, anything in between, based on what your project requires. So unless it's otherwise stated, if there's a range of time, 4 to 9 months, 4 to 6 months, it's on the applicant to determine that. For this award, the flex option is available. That means you can go to the country multiple times for short segments to conduct the research. And any affiliation at either a university, government agency, or research institution is appropriate, but a letter of invitation is required, and that letter of invitation must outline what you'll be doing and for the length of time you'll be doing it and who the contact person will be. We have the Fulbright Canada Distinguished Research Chairs at Carleton University. There are 4 spots in this award, and this is a full academic year. This is a 9-month award. And the following, you know, the list I've got here from ranging from arts to entrepreneurship, environmental science, public affairs, et cetera, these are the particular fields of interest that they're looking for, and they will place the scholar in those departments at Carleton. Canada has, again, quite a number of awards available. The Research Chair Awards, there's 12 of them. So I just want to clarify that the Research Chair Awards are for research or teaching and research, but there's no requirement of the applicant, of the grantee, to serve as a chair for the department. This is just the title of the award. But again, you can be an early career kind of junior academic. You might be a mid-career or kind of senior academic. Wherever you are in your career, that's fine. But again, I don't want you to feel that there's any any extra burden of serving as a chair. You can do your research project in any of the fields listed here. And if you don't see your field listed here, we have one called Field Open, which is the equivalent of an All Disciplines. But again, that award might have a particular partner award. So these themed awards have pre-identified host institutions. Essentially, they're placed awards. I can show you what that looks like in the catalog. So for example, if you click on business and management, you'll see 2 universities or 3 universities listed. And depending on your specialty, your field of specialization within that discipline, you will be placed at that particular, at the appropriate host. And then the last one I wanted to highlight is the new award that we have that just came last year, the Fulbright Canada Pierre Elliott Trudeau Fellowship. This fellowship is resulted from a partnership with the Trudeau Fellowship Foundation, and it is based in Montreal. Each year they have a new theme, a different theme related to public policy. So for next year, the theme is global economies. So I encourage you, if you're interested, to take a look at that award description for more information. Moving along to Central America, we have a variety of all disciplines awards available, as well as a unique award to Panama in science, technology, and education. Angelica, did you want to share a little bit about what Panama, the new partnership they have in Panama?
Sure. So Panama, as Michelle mentioned, has two awards. The all disciplines is really any discipline that you would like to propose a project in is welcome. And they also have a science, technology, and education award. And one opportunity that doesn't quite fit in either of these that they are really interested in promoting is called the City of Knowledge, or the Ciudad del Saber, which would be the host institution. And they're really looking for somebody with extensive study abroad program designing experience so that they can help bolster their study abroad programs in Panama. And so they're looking, if you have that experience, if you know somebody who has that experience, you don't have to be fluent in Spanish. They do prefer some language proficiency, but you know, take a look at that award. It's within the All Disciplines Award. You'll see it in the list of available host institutions. And so it's a unique opportunity, and we don't want you to miss it. So I definitely wanted to highlight that here.
Great, thank you. And I also want to underscore the fact that even if you see particular disciplines as preferred, let's say you're looking at the award to Costa Rica, it's an all disciplines award, but they may list a few specializations that they're interested in, such as TEFL or environmental conservation, you know, et cetera. That's essentially the U.S. Embassy there putting in their requests or kind of a wish list, but you're welcome to apply to the program to that particular award, even if you might not be listed, if your discipline is not listed in the preferred discipline section. Keep in mind, we might not get any applications in that particular, in those particular disciplines. So it doesn't hurt to, you know, contact us, just, you know, talk with us, share your resume or your CV, and we can guide you as to where you could potentially be the best fit. A lot of these smaller countries are often overlooked, but they have fantastic opportunities. They offer fantastic opportunities to have a lot of impact as a Fulbright scholar because you may be the only scholar that year. So some of these are, you know, they only offer one or two spots. So you with coming down with your project, whether it's environmental conservation or building a new system or, you know, developing curriculum at a particular university, you could have a lot of impact in these places. So I want to underscore, as long as your topic is relevant and timely to the particular host or the host institution, you'll have greater success in that in the application process. All right, so moving on to Mexico. Mexico also has a large program. They have unique award offerings. So you'll notice they don't offer an all disciplines award, but in a way they've kind of covered a lot of disciplines with the Science and Technology Award and then the Social Sciences and Humanities, as well as TEFL and the U.S. Studies Award. I want to point out they do have a unique travel award called the Fulbright Border Scholar Award, and that allows applicants from the U.S. bordering states that border Mexico, so California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, to apply for a travel award that would allow them to partner with a university or college in Mexico that's along the border and go back and forth between the U.S. and Mexico, spending about 8 days a month in Mexico teaching or conducting research on a topic that is of relevance to, you know, border, not just the physical border, but just in general, anything that would relate to the U.S.-Mexico relations and topics about borders and migration and immigration and all of that. So take a look at that. It's not a residential award like these others, but it could be a great opportunity if you find yourself geographically in those particular states along the border. And then we also have the postdoctoral award to Mexico, as well as I mentioned, the Carlos Rico award. Moving on to the Andes, again, we have four all disciplines awards to Bolivia, Colombia, Ecuador, and Peru. Colombia offers the largest number of awards available, so grants available. There are 16 spots. Peru has four, for example. So take a look, each one, they're not all equal, but they are all open to all disciplines. So please take a look. You'll also see, and I'll show this in the catalog, some may have a preference for senior scholars, or there might be a preference for teaching versus research. So when you're looking at the offerings in the catalog, you can certainly filter according to what you're hoping to do on a Fulbright. Are you hoping to research? Are you interested just in teaching? Are you open to a combination? Or is the professional project something that you'd like to do? So filter accordingly, and then you can see where you can be the best fit. You can only apply for one award per competition. All right, so moving over to Brazil, they have several new awards this year in addition to their All Disciplines Award. Now, the All Disciplines Award is very large. There's up to 30 scholars that can be selected for the All Disciplines Award. It is specifically open to early and mid-career academics, because the more senior scholars they hope to funnel to the Distinguished Scholar Awards. All of the ones listed here are new this year, and they're really interesting because they have placements, they're placed awards, so you don't have to go searching for the host, you don't have to contact the host if you don't choose to, and you don't need to seek out a letter of invitation. So these are the new kind of topics that Brazil is very interested in, and I just want to make a note for the medical sciences, no patient kind of interaction or any clinical kind of treatments can be carried out, but certainly research in the medical sciences is allowed. So again, placed awards all across Brazil. The other note I would like to make is there is a general preference, if you're considering the All Disciplines Award, there is a general preference for the applicant to select a host that's outside of the major cities of Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo. So again, you can certainly, if the project you need to carry out is only, the contacts you have are only at a particular university in those two cities, that's fine. But as you can imagine, the commission, the Fulbright Commission in Brazil, would like to have as many grantees spread out across the country as possible so that institutions across the country can benefit from the program.
I'd also like to touch on the Interdisciplinary Network Award, which is new. It's a new initiative by the Commission in Brazil, and it's really to get scholars to be able to engage with multiple universities in Brazil. And so really leveraging, instead of having you be at one host institution and putting it on the scholar to go out and explore other universities, you choose one university that most fits your project and your research or your project, and then you'll automatically be invited to join the network of these five other universities or the four other universities. So it's a really unique opportunity to get to see more of Brazil, kind of more bang for your buck, if you will, in terms of the host institutions and the network that you can establish. So it's brand new, and be sure to check that out.
Great. And we just had a question about the letter of invitation for the All Disciplines Award. Yes, a letter of invitation is required from a host that you identify. So whereas the Distinguished Scholar Awards are placed, there's a partner university listed in each award. The All Disciplines Award allows the applicant to select the host and solicit the letter of invitation. Okay. All right, moving south, Southern Cone countries. We have two awards to Argentina. They've essentially kind of split up the award for social sciences and humanities to apply to one award, and then applicants in the fields of science and technology, so that's their kind of STEM award, is separate. So take a look at those options there. Nothing's really changed from last year. Chile, again, has something similar. They have a Social Sciences, Humanities, and Education Award, and then their Science and Technology Award. But we do have some new information about the awards to Chile, Angelica.
Sure. So if anyone has looked at the Chile awards in the past, you'll have noticed that there used to be a requirement for the host institution who writes you a letter of invitation to also immediately agree upfront to provide a cost share, meaning that they need to agree to provide $1,200 a month for the length of your project. We have separated that out, so now you can simply ask for a letter of invitation, obtain a letter of invitation, and begin discussions about the financial component. So the financial cost share component on behalf of the host institution is still there, but we've separated it out so that you can get your letter, you can submit your application, and then you, the host institution, and the Fulbright Commission in Chile can work together to decide what that cost share agreement would look like, and we can kind of put it on the back end, and then should you be selected, everything would then be figured out. So we're hoping that this eases the process and the time it takes to negotiate with the host institutions. So hopefully it works a lot better for our applicants and that this opens a few more doors for additional applications for Chile.
Great. Excellent. Thank you, Angelica. In Paraguay, we have the All Disciplines Award, and as well as in Uruguay, we have All Disciplines, but we have a relatively new award. It's been around for maybe 1 or 2 years, the Agriculture Award. So Uruguay has an agriculture research center with 5 different kind of sub-center sub-locations that they have partnered with Fulbright to place the Fulbrighter depending on the specific sub-discipline within agriculture. So this is a unique opportunity to work side by side with agriculture scientists and researchers in Uruguay and really collaborate with them on research topics and projects. So I encourage you, if that is your discipline, to please view that. You'll always be more competitive applying to an award that specifically seeks out your discipline versus applying to an all disciplines if there's, you know, if there's another option. So for example, for Uruguay, there's the All Disciplines Award and the Agricultural Award. So if you are in the field of agriculture, you would be most competitive there because you'd only be competing against other agriculture scientists and researchers. So if that makes sense, we encourage you always to go to the more narrow the option as possible so that you're reducing the size of the applicant pool and the types of applicants that you're competing against.
One thing I would like to add about the Uruguay awards, both of them, but particularly the Agriculture Award, if you don't know anything about Uruguay, look into it. It's really called the hidden gem of South America. They have so much land. They're doing a lot of really great and interesting research in the discipline of agriculture. So you would be partnering with one of their national institutes in agriculture. And so if this is your discipline or if you know somebody who would be really great for it, please look into it as it's a really, really great opportunity that can have a lot of impact as well.
Absolutely. All right. Okay, so moving on over to the Caribbean, lots of opportunities available. And you'll note that some are All Disciplines Award and some focus on STEM and agriculture, like the award to Guyana. Trinidad and Tobago, again, has 2. One is specifically partnered with the College of Science, Technology, and Applied Arts. So again, take a look. There are specific fields of interest, for example, social work and education, early childhood education are listed as, you know, particular disciplines they're seeking out because they have departments that specialize in those fields. So these are the offerings we have this year. I wanted to note that the Barbados and Eastern Caribbean Award, a lot of the link-ups are with the locations, our community colleges. So if you are interested in having an impact at those community colleges, that would be a great option for you. And I always like to put it out there, if you are from a community college, this is great to go from, to see what the, you know, the system is over there and to really bring back some best practices and share, you know, that kind of cross-cultural knowledge and learning.
One thing about Barbados and Eastern Caribbean, Barbados, the embassy in Barbados manages all of the Eastern Caribbean for Fulbright purposes, so it does entail, I believe, 7 different islands. So if you're looking to go to St. Kitts and Nevis, to Dominica, any of the other smaller islands, you would want to look at this specific award, and that would be available. But the embassy in Barbados and IAE, we kind of group them together for ease of administering it. And so if you're interested in those, just be sure to look at that award a little more carefully to see what's available.
Yes, and all of the locations, the institutions are listed there, and if you don't see the one that you'd like to be affiliated with, you can certainly propose it, but again, that's on a case-by-case basis. All right.
Can I do one more highlight here, Michelle?
Please, yes.
So Guyana and Suriname, working in the region, people really overlook these two little countries. They are in South America. Guyana is English-speaking. Suriname is Dutch-speaking, so they're a little bit more unique, and that's why they're more Caribbean in terms of culture, so that's why it's grouped here. For Guyana, they're doing really cool new research in STEM and agriculture. I think they pretty recently found oil reserves, and so there's a big industry, and they're doing a lot of research and are really looking for experts to come help with their like conservation, their green movement, alternative energy, that sort of stuff. So definitely look into that one if you're interested in any of those disciplines. It says STEM and agriculture, but it is a little more broad than this, so go ahead and review that award. Mm-hmm. And then Suriname, it is Dutch-speaking, and it is an all-disciplines award. I think it's mostly jungle. It borders Brazil. I've never been. It's on my list, but it seems really amazing, and the scholars who have been there have said just incredible things about it. So check out what their priorities are. If you have any Dutch language ability, we encourage you to especially apply to Suriname. It's not required, but you know, it would definitely be helpful. So just shouting out these two smaller countries that I think often get overlooked as part of being the Western Hemisphere.
Absolutely. No, thank you for that. We often kind of get distracted by the larger countries, Brazil, Mexico, et cetera. So it's good to take a look at these here. All right, so moving on. I wanted to highlight for our junior academics, our recent graduates, postdocs, the postdoctoral award offering. So there are three countries this year that are offering postdocs. We have the one to Canada, the one to Chile is specifically in astronomy and Antarctic studies, and that's the photo the scholar featured here. It was our first postdoctoral scholar to Chile, and her research was on snow and the carbon that the snow captures. So that was a great project that she worked on. And then in Mexico, we have the postdoctoral scholar award. So again, the postdoctoral awards are open to applicants who have completed their PhD, their terminal degree, their doctoral degree in the last 5 years. So take a look at the eligibility for each award, but that's the general rule for the program. Okay.
And for Canada, really quick,
sure.
Michelle,
sure.
It's similar to their research chair, so they do have different disciplines that they're looking for. So one is Indigenous studies, one is Northern issues, focusing on natural resources and environmental studies. So, you know, when you're looking at these awards, if anything piques your interest about a country, I encourage you to go into the award, and Michelle will show you exactly how much detail is in there. So just because it says postdoc award, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's all disciplines or just one discipline. So really look into each one to see if it would be a good fit for you.
Right, exactly. Okay, and just a couple other things I wanted to highlight. We did hear a couple times language was mentioned. So on the whole, Spanish and Portuguese are the main ones that we're talking about. Suriname, of course, is a Dutch-speaking country, but again, the award doesn't require Dutch. But there are some requirements for other awards, depending on what you're looking at. There may be a requirement for an advanced or intermediate level of Spanish, for example. Otherwise, it might state recommended. In that case, you may need to submit a language proficiency report in addition to the self-evaluation that's in the application. So what that means is if it's a requirement, if it states required, you would need to register a language evaluator, so an external language evaluator, someone who is not providing a letter of recommendation for you, but typically it's someone who teaches the language at the, you know, tertiary level. So someone maybe in your on your campus or at a nearby college or university that teaches that language. And they would then fill out the form, and that would get attached to your application. If it's recommended, we recommend that you submit it, but it wouldn't be required at that point. So take a look exactly as to what the award description says, and I can show you where to find that information. And then the last thing, of course, I mentioned a little earlier was the regional travel program. So we encourage Fulbrighters to really become kind of engaged with the local academic community, but also the regional academic community. So, I spoke to a scholar who was based in Canada, and they attended a conference in Brazil, for example, using the regional travel program. So that's one way you can do things. You don't need to mention it in the application, but it's something to keep on your radar if you are selected for a Fulbright. A little more information I wanted to share about the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship. This is a unique opportunity, relatively new to the Scholar Program. There are actually 4 countries that participate in this, and this is, again, an opportunity for early and mid-career public policy professionals to serve in these 4 countries, Burma, Cote d'Ivoire, Peru, and Ukraine, in the actual government ministry, working side by side with, local counterparts. So, for example, if you apply to Peru, you might be, and again, there's a full list in the award description, if your expertise is in women and gender rights, you might be placed in the Ministry of Women's Affairs, for example, or if you're into health policy, you might be in the health ministry. So that's exactly how the placements work. The proposal for the award is a little different, and we will be holding webinars throughout the competition, and you can also reach out to my colleague, Kim Williams, who is the contact for those awards. So it's a unique opportunity where you're not going there to provide, to propose a project, rather you're working side by side with your colleagues in those fields. All right, so moving on, I'd like to take the opportunity to do a guided tour of the website and show you our catalog as well. So let's see, get this screen going. All right. So here we are. So I hope you can see my screen showing the CIES.org page. This is our newly updated website featuring for the Fulbright Scholar Program. And again, I just want to underscore that we did get some questions about eligibility in terms of being in a master's program and hoping to apply for a Fulbright. I just want to let everyone know that the Scholar Program is for academics, independent researchers, people who are completing their PhD and applying for a postdoctoral award, professionals with at least 7 years of experience. So if you are enrolled in a master's program, please look at the website for the Fulbright Student Program, and you can find more information about opportunities for students. So if we're here, this is CIES.org, the Fulbright Scholar Program, and we are going to take a look at the awards in the catalog. And so I'm going to click here, and it's going to take me to the main page here, and I'm going to select the Western Hemisphere and just do a search, because I want to show you how you can filter for awards according to the discipline that you're in, or you can search according to your career profile. So all of that is here, for example. If you're an artist, which awards are open to artists, et cetera, you can also search according to grant length. Let's say you can only get away for 3 to 5 months. We can do a search that way. So there's lots of ways to, kind of filter and narrow down the awards. So I'd like to kind of just walk you through a particular award, let's say, and I prefer the list view, so I'm going to switch it this way. Okay, so for example, the research chairs that we mentioned, which are kind of a unique format in terms of an award. You'll notice here that the disciplines listed, it's pretty broad, arts, humanities, and culture. But when you click into the award description, you'll see particular university hosts listed. So at the University of Alberta, in this particular Department of Arts and Humanities, these are the sub-disciplines that they are looking for. Anthropology would also be at University of Alberta, but for example, South Asian studies would be at Calgary. So these are the different ways to look at where you could potentially be placed. You can see here the activity type is research or teaching and research, and then the degree requirement as well as the career profile. So this award is open to any range of academic experience, whether you're early career, mid-career, or senior, and there are up to 5 opportunities for this award. You can also see my contact information if you'd like to follow up with questions later, westhem@iie.org. And then, of course, you can also join an office hour. Again, starting next month, we'll start the office hours. If you scroll back up to the award requirements tab, you'll see that the letter of invitation is optional. But if you do have questions, you are encouraged to contact the commission in Canada if you'd like to reach out to a particular faculty at the departments. And they have those links here as well. The stipend is always the benefits in the stipend you're going to find in this tab. What all is entailed, there's lots of different benefits, travel expenses, there's a kind of a leadership program, there's lots of unique things for grantees to consider, and then of course there's an overview.
If you could go back to the award requirements tab, Michelle.
Sure.
I just want to highlight one thing, so can you scroll down a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're applying to most awards, if you have a letter of invitation, you're going to put down that that's your preferred host institution. Because these are placed awards, you know, there's 3 universities available here, Canada would like you to identify the host institutions and rank them in order of preference so that that can help them work with the universities to see who would be best placed at which institution. And so this is pretty unique to Canada. Other awards don't require ranking or identifying host institutions in this way. But if you are interested in Canada, we encourage you to apply. Take a look at all of the institutions, because if you only choose one, it's not guaranteed that you'll be placed at that one institution. And so you just want to be aware of that when you're applying.
Great, thank you. All right, let's take a look at another award for a country that doesn't have a Fulbright Commission, but is administered, the program's administered through the U.S. Embassy there. So, for example, Guyana, we mentioned earlier, one of the smaller countries in South America. And you can see here that a letter of invitation is required, but the information for who to contact is listed here as well. So if you click on their name, it's hyperlinked. So there's 3 contacts listed that you can reach out to directly for the invitation letter. And then there's more information also. The contact person of the U.S. Embassy staff and public affairs assistant is also linked here.